Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live every Tuesday morning here in Stouffville at Whistle FM 102.9. By the way, folks, listen online. Don't count on picking up a signal. You know, we're a community radio station, and signals are limited. There's all sorts of little glitches and things that can happen when you don't have a big, powerful network. So get used to going to finding whistlefm.ca and or put 102.9 FM in Stouffville, and you'll find a methodology. You'll find the way to get to listen live. And once you're used to that, you won't use radios anymore, because no matter where you go on this planet, you can listen to us as long as you know what 10 Eastern time is. So anyway, by the way, folks, the things we talk about, we know save lives, and it's not because somebody saved ours or anything like that, but we know it saves lives. And Gary, number two here, and myself see it every week in jails. And these are the people, in my opinion, that are closest to death. And that's the reason that I want to be in jails. I want to be right where they're just about ready to make that decision and instill some hope, enough hope to get them outside of jails without making a move immediately to go back and do some more of what they normally do, which is commonly fentanyl today, the same stuff that killed my son, and many, many, many more. Just to see and to know exactly when you're sitting in a room of 10, 12 people who are addicted to fentanyl, you know 9, 10 of them this time next year are gone. They're dead. It's that simple. And there's many, many rooms that can fill up with many, many groups of people just like that. So although the average bird doesn't have a clue about what's going on, we do and we see it, and we've got to do everything we can to prevent it. My point, whatever you hear on these radio shows may not even be of interest to you, but it may be absolutely necessary to someone. And someone needs a solution that maybe one of these Garys have, maybe I have, maybe Patty has. And if we don't share them, just as Gary spoke about earlier, if we don't share these stories and these ways that we've survived to where we are, then other people are going to die just because we didn't tell them. So, you know, you don't know when you're going to meet that person or if you'll be acknowledged when you do. But you need to do that. You need to tell stories. So the best way to tell stories with the internet is to share things. This show comes out on podcast 3-4 days later every week. So by Saturday, you can go online to Sharing the Burden Radio or sharingtheburden.ca or stbradio.ca and pick up a copy of this broadcast and other ones and share it. And I mean, it's that simple. You don't even have to like what you share. Tell people you don't like it. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, it might save a life. So we cannot afford to not do this. Our best in every sense of the word, every one of you and me, is to do that. To not do that is to deny that maybe something can make a difference in another life. So part of today's theme is about doing our best. And yesterday's theme was more or less about, you know, who might we have forgotten about that needs to be on our amends list. And, you know, who or what, maybe an institution, maybe the police, maybe authority of some other kind. But how do we find the places that we don't know maybe an amends is required? One of the things is we think about some things such as, who have I passed by? And when I say that, not necessarily physically, although also physically, if you're in a metropolis where there's a lot of homeless, you see them on the street, and I know, and I'm guilty. I do not stop by every person in a sleeping bag, but I do stop, you know, whenever I have that sense that for some reason I need to talk to this one, I do it. But, you know, I think back to Mother Teresa, and like, she would have stopped at the first one and stayed there as long as she had to before she went anywhere else. So that's the reality. And not only do I pass by physically, who do I put out of my head because I don't like some characteristics about them? I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they control is a big, big, big one. And when I see that, I can come back to people pretty quickly who need to be on that list, and I don't want them in my life, so they don't get on any list unless I think of something like this where I'm required to make that amends somehow, and I don't have to worry about how, but they need to be on the list. The other thing, very important to me, it also gets me out of denial as to maybe where I have another problem, and that is when I look at someone's actions or someone's behavior and I really dislike it, I'm really uncomfortable with it, well, I know that whatever I'm uncomfortable with, I own. You know that saying we use in program quite often? If you spot it, buddy, you got it. You know, mm-hmm. And that is so true. We're just looking at a mirror and we think by yelling and screaming at someone who carries the same genetics that we're going to be all right. I tell people, when you see a guy like that or a girl, go up, shake hands, tell them you want to be their friends because they can teach you a whole lot about you and you can mm-hmm. teach them about them. So anyway, that's my thoughts on doing my best. Have you guys got any more ideas? And Gary, you might want to come up with something on this one too. Gary too, the trainer here. What?
One.
We do this with one of the girls in one of our groups too. Jennifer one, Jennifer two. Quite funny. Yeah. How would you set yourself up to always do the next right thing? Or how would you find the people that you need to get back with and settle something, finish some business?
Well, what I learned, over the course of my young life, some things that I've been carrying, you know, God kind of showed it to me through a workout when mm-hmm. I questioned him, why am I pushing all this weight so fast due to the circumstances that I went through? And he said, every pound that you're pushing off represents somebody's burden you're pushing off of them. Mm-hmm. Well, that was also a burden that I was carrying. And there's so many things that we may carry that we don't even realize that we're still carrying it because it's become comfortable, like putting on that favorite shirt or covering with that blanket.
Yeah.
And so I try my best to die to self every day because I say I'm not perfect. You hear me talking here about, you know, my beliefs, but I'm still on a construction.
Yeah.
I'm still on a construction. So it's daily dying to self. And I got to get myself fit spiritually and physically so I can help somebody else. Until mm-hmm. that happens, moment by moment, you know, not I live in the moment, not day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So today, I'm going to do my best by acknowledging people on my left or my right when I'm going down that street. Hello, how are you? That's how I bring my best. That's how I've been wired. And so by doing that and giving myself that mandate, I got to put a smile on at least one face when I get out of bed. That'll change the scope of how I see the day. Because somebody went to bed last night and woke up saying, you know what, nobody cares about me.
Yeah.
Yesterday, there, today, what? Somebody's not going to say hi to me again today. So if I can be that change, I don't have to say change the city, but if I could put a smile on one face, I believe that's bringing my best. Right? So,
right on.
I'm not trying to be Superman, like I said. Just if I could put a smile on one face, that's bringing my best.
We won't talk about your toe then.
Oh, Jesus.
If I can make him curse, no, he won't.
No, I don't curse.
Gary number two. It sounds like a game show. Anyway, here's one thing I wrote this morning, and don't ask me why. I read a lot of funny stuff. It says, our best is only possible in complete sobriety, starting with emotional sobriety. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll get Gary from Program Hero, I know from meetings, to comment on that one. And I know that if my emotions aren't in line, I'm vulnerable and I'm close to a problem, and like you say, you know, take one moment, one day at a time, and you never know when you're going to, and folks, I'm going to use the word relapse, when you're going to relapse Jesus. Back into some behavior. Mm. And it doesn't have to be a drug addiction or anything like that. I mean, a lot of people are just uncomfortable in their own skin, you know, and they need to come and share. And we don't look for labels, not in sharing the burden anyway. We just want troubled people to come alongside and listen to our troubles until our vulnerability will catch fire in them and they'll share. And it works. And I know it works. And it works better in prison than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And folks, I get loved more in prison than I ever did outside. You know? And that's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know? If they feel the same way, I feel the same way. And it's magic. It is just unbelievable. So, mm-hmm. Any comments on emotional sobriety versus the other ones? I know you've openly said where you come from, so.
First, just to piggyback on what Gary once yep. said about, not helping everybody. You know, mm-hmm. and I remember hearing something that was very profound for me. It says, we all can't help everybody, but everybody can help someone.
Yeah.
You know, there's one person that we can encourage, lift up, like if it's somebody on the street in a sleeping bag or in the prison or in a meeting or just walking by that we see something not right and, we can all help somebody, you know, just one person. And that's always my goal in if I'm asked to speak at a meeting or share at a meeting, whatever it is, if I can touch one person in this room. Yeah. Plant one seed that this person can take what I've said and help them stay sober today or tonight for the rest of the evening. And then tomorrow's another day. And I think that builds on the emotional sobriety for me when I think what I have to do for me. Because my program tells me that my sobriety, you know, my mental sobriety, my physical sobriety, is contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what am I doing today to stay spiritually fit, emotionally fit, that I'm open enough that when this person comes across in my path that I'm not going to be blocked, that I'm going to be selfish again and say, I'm not helping this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be fit. You know, on some days I'm not always fit. I'm blocked by some, sometimes it's a resentment. You know, something's bothering me from yesterday. And again, this is why it's so important to live one day at a time for me. The program has taught me to let go of what was, accept what is, what's happening right now, and have faith in what will be. You know, and I'm not perfect at it. I'm working to the best of my ability each and every day and trying to do new things. You know, this is why I love coming to meetings, this is a new experience for me.
Mm.
Maybe I can learn something from Gary One here, which I already have. And yourself, you know, I've always learned from you, Scott, through the meetings, right, and our jail experiences. And to be a better person, back to the obedience, you know, being obedient, doing the best that I can today. And that's part of an immense process for me, too, trying to be the best person I can with the ability I have, with the knowledge I have today. And that's all I can do until I get more knowledge and wisdom. That's what I'm going to do better. And this is why I keep doing what I'm doing. Because I'm an imperfect person living in an imperfect world, and I need help each and every day.
Yeah.
From the people around me and from my higher power, which I call God. I need help each and every day.
Yeah.
You know, so that's mental sobriety, the emotional sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an emotional guy. And it's more about the joy that I get emotional about, you know, what God has done in my life, you know. It's not so much about being angry and frustrated and resentful. Sure, I still get that way, but I can overcome that today by practicing these principles to the best of my ability today.
Hallelujah.
You know, so it's just wonderful. Being obedient is by living these principles, trying to be as honest as I can today, keeping an open mind to whoever comes across my path and whatever they say to me, be willing to try something different, have some integrity today, you know, be humbled today, some brotherly love again with what am I going to do when I pass by somebody, will I have some love for this person? And also I'm trying to the best of my ability to do that, and
hallelujah.
Life is getting better as a result of that. And I still need lots of work because, you know, I've said many times that these principles for me is the hardest place to practice is in my own home, you know.
Hey.
And so I'm really working at that, you know.
That's really interesting, Gary, especially that last statement. And I know that so well, being part of a mixed family, you know, where children are not my blood necessarily. And it is one tough go. But you know what, folks? I decided to stay in that, and not an easy decision, because it was training me. It was almost doing what Gary's saying. If I can handle that nonsense, I can handle anything. And not only handle it, But if I can love those people in that, you know, most people involved in my scenario would say, he doesn't love us, but I do. And that is what keeps me going back. It's just that simple love, and it's the effort towards selflessness, which none of us get to, but we aim at it. You know, I think, and in the now, we can do it, you know, and it's only now and never anything else, but that's a whole another game. So we're going to take one more break, and then we'll go on for about 10, 12 minutes and finish up the show. So, Patty, you want to take us out one more time?
Sure. No problem.